You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Straight and Narrow. So the estimates, I did a little research on this, and I kind of kept doing research on this because I couldn't get my head around this was maybe possibly the truth. But the estimates are that somewhere between 100 and 170 billion people have lived since creation. That's just a lot of people. Except for a few, all were born of a woman. You say, what does that mean? Well, Adam and Eve were clearly not born of women. But as it turns out, to get a shot at life, physical life, you have to be born. Even Jesus, the way he came, doesn't mean he can't show up. But to be here as a physical man, he came the way we come, born of Mary, a virgin, but yet born of a woman. So to see this world, you have to be physically born. To see the kingdom of God and make heaven, you have to be born a second time, okay? So physical birth is how you get into this realm. But if you want to pass from this realm into eternal life, into heaven, there is a second birth canal of sorts that you have to pass through. So everybody turn to John chapter 3, and we may not begin just talking about what you think we're going to be talking about. But let's cover this piece first. So John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, so he's coming, not, you know, where everybody sees it. And he says, Rabbi, so he had figured this much out. Rabbi, we know, not just me, we, whoever the we includes, we know that you're a teacher come from God. So he called him a rabbi, which would mean that. But we believe you came from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So he's gone as far to say, Rabbi, teacher come from God. No one can do this stuff you're doing unless God is with him. Now, what he doesn't seemingly understand yet is that God is not with Jesus. Jesus is God. And he said, well, why do you emphasize that? Because if you don't believe that, you don't understand that, you're going to miss the whole thing. He's not a good teacher. He's not a good guy. He's not a merciful, just, you know, some guy. He is God in a man, man God. Jesus answered and said to him, which is interesting because he didn't ask a question. But Jesus comes back and says to Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, in other words, everybody knows you got to get born to get here, but you have to be born a second time. And unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there are things about this world, stuff, you know, you see stuff, material stuff. The stuff that really matters, you can't see. And all the stuff you can see is all going to be destroyed. So if you want to get into another realm, another kingdom, other than the kingdoms of this world, you have to go through, and I keep referring to it as it's kind of this rebirth canal to see that. And when you are born again, the way the scripture describes this, then you enter into the kingdom of God and all of a sudden you see and sense and are aware of things that otherwise would be nothing to you. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So it's a ridiculous, he clearly did not understand what Jesus was talking about, or he wouldn't have said something so stupid like, what am I, climb back in my mom's womb and come out again? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Now, some people try to complicate this. What does that mean? First time you're born, what happens when a child is being born? Water breaks. What has to happen for a person to be born again? Spirit breaks. unless you're born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Okay, so go to Matthew 7. And this born again, you know, this phrase kind of gets chewed up through the decades. Some people have never heard it. Some people got just destroyed because they just hear it too much and don't understand it. It's not complicated, okay? So a child to be born, a seed has to be planted. A child develops, is born. So the gospel, in a spiritual sense, is that seed which is planted. And then you're either born or you're not. Now here's where it goes sideways. Matthew 7, and I'm going to read it first to you out of the King James Version, which is what I grew up with. But here's how it read for a long time. Enter ye, and this is why we don't use it anymore, because, there's too many ye's. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And if you'll notice how it's spelled, straight is not straight like point A to B, that straight. It's a word that means narrow, not this, not straight in that way. So it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now I read out of the King James Version, enter in at the narrow gate. So straight, narrow, the same word. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. And why do so many people take the broad way, and many go that way? Because, verse 14 says, because narrow, straight, is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So I started thinking about 100 billion or 170 billion, whatever the number is, this torrent of humanity just barreling its way through history. And the vast majority of them on this wide, broad road that seems easier, seems like there's more pleasure, there's, you know, this is it. Everybody's going this way. And yet somewhere on that path, since the beginning of time, there has been a narrow, a straight entrance into life. You say, well, why would people not pick that? First of all, if you go for the end of this, few there be that find it. So wait a minute, I'm supposed to be looking for this wormhole into eternity? Somehow a way that is constricted, is tough, is difficult, but it will get me, if I take that route, if I take that rebirth canal out of here, then that will get me into heaven and with God forever. Or I take the broad way. And what does it end up in? Destruction. So as I think about the numbers, and I think about just the people sitting in this room, and I think about the people watching and listening somewhere sometime beyond here, this is a horrible thing to say to you. Some of you aren't going to make it. You're just not going to make it. You have chosen the broad way. You have chosen destruction. And there's nothing that anybody can say or do about that. If you go read Romans chapter 1, it talks about everybody's without excuse. The universe, the heavens declare the glory of God. He's like, you will have no excuse. Oh, I didn't know there was a God. You can't be born and live and not know there's a God. You had no excuse. You knew there was a God, and your heart was darkened, and you turned away and chose destruction in the broad way. You say, I didn't pick that. Then pick the narrow gate. Well, where is it? It's not a thing. It's a person. It's Jesus. Well, I don't need anybody. Yeah, you do. Because that little gate, that narrow gate, that straight gate leads to life. Now, let me tell you this before I forget this. It worked out. Somebody made it possible for me and Rebecca to go to the National Prayer Breakfast. We'd gone before with my brother-in-law, but chance to go again. I don't randomly do these things. I say, oh, Lord, are we supposed to go to that? And I got, yes, supposed to go. So we load up, go up there. And when I registered, the person who made this possible had checked off some boxes for the dinner, the lunch, the dinner, but not the breakfast that we went up there for. So I'm standing at the registration table, and I'll have to be honest, I was a little frustrated, but being the real spiritual person that I am, it took me a minute. But I was like, okay, Lord, what am I doing? Okay, I thank you, Lord. You know what you're doing. Let's go with it. Now, I can't reveal all of my story, but let's just say I ended up in that breakfast. Got dressed, went down, and miraculously, I ended up in that breakfast. But because I was not a ticket holder in that breakfast, I did not have a table number and a table. But I knew I was supposed to be in that breakfast. So Rebecca's with me, and this, you know, poor thing, she married me, and it's been this way for a long time. So I'm in the room, and what I didn't know is at a certain point in the breakfast, you can't have 2,000-something people show up at a breakfast and somebody not show up. So they know somebody's going to show up. So all of a sudden, I look over this whole ballroom, and there's people standing like this. 3, 2, 6, 5, just randomly standing by tables with fingers up. And I went, they're seats. So I saw a guy with 6 fingers up, and I thought, there's my table. They're, you know, sit there, won't be a problem. So I go sit down at that table, and Rebecca sees me, and she's coming over toward me, and I was like, this is not my table. And I look down on the floor, a guy holding 2 fingers up. And so I grabbed her, we went down there, and as I'm approaching the table's full except for these 2 seats, and there's a lady sitting, and I'm telling you, you say, well, you can't do this. It happens all the time. I'm like, Lord, am I supposed to sit by her or put Rebecca next to her? And it's just real time, you sit by her. Rebecca's over here, I sit down. It turns out this woman was an ambassador to the United States. I won't say the country, so I won't embarrass her. So I'm like, okay, Lord, here I am. I start talking to her. And I shared the gospel with her. And in the middle of the prayer breakfast, she entered the straight gate. She was from a country. She had grown up with some knowledge. I shared the gospel with her. She had never heard it that way. And in front of God and everybody, 2,000 people, she didn't care. She prayed out loud with me and became a Christian. Now, was it my job to tell her somehow, okay, you were on the Broadway, and now you've chosen the straight gate, the narrow way, and it's going to be difficult. She'll find out soon enough. But I think we do a disservice to people by trying to either coerce them, manipulate them, and try to tell them, follow Jesus, and it's all going to be great. You're going to be rich. You're going to be healthy. We lie to people. You may be poor. You may be poorer than you were before you met Jesus. You may lose everything. You may be sick and ask him to heal you, and you may die of that sickness. You say, well, that sounds terrible. It says it's terrible. It can be terrible. It can be difficult. But difficult turns out to be better than destruction. So as we do what we do and we read the scriptures and we talk to you about Jesus, some people jerk certain verses and tell you, oh, God wants to bless you. He does. The fruit of the Spirit, it's a beautiful thing. It is. But it doesn't remove the difficulty. It doesn't remove the suffering. It doesn't remove the persecution. And you say, well, I didn't sign up for this. Yes, you did. And somehow in the process, even if I can't explain all that to the ambassador at breakfast, as I follow up with her and she becomes aware, this is intense. The enemy was not after me like before, like he is now. What do I do? And that's where discipleship is so huge, because you have to help people step through the gate and get on the narrow way. And there are few people that find both of those. So I know most everybody in this room. And some come and go. And some come and go because it gets hard. They signed up and went, yeah, heaven. I choose heaven. But I didn't sign up for this narrow way, this difficult way, this painful way, this suffering part of the path. And then gently you try to say to them, but this is part of the deal. It's taking up your cross. It's denying yourself daily, following him. But I don't want to follow him anymore. It's too hard. The straight gate, the narrow gate, is not a shortcut back to the Broadway. It's not, oh, I'll pull in this drive-through, get me some Jesus, and then get back out there. So let me ask this right here. Did you get you some Jesus, and now you're back out there? Is my life, is your life a Broadway life? Or it is a narrow life? And if I ask the people that know you, say, is he just Yeah, he'll check off Jesus, but he's just back out here living the nightmare, the dream that leads to destruction. So let me go over some words here in these verses. The straight gate, that word is translated in New King James, narrow. It means narrow, difficult, restricted. So the first word in that verse is enter. Now let me tell you something about the word enter. Enter in at the straight gate or the narrow gate. And you've never heard me tell you stuff like this because I hated this stuff in seminary, but it's part of the deal. That is an aorist active imperative. That changed your life right there, didn't it? Just me telling you that. Now, what does that mean? It actually has a meaning. What that means is when Jesus said enter, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Enter. It's a command, not a suggestion. The aorist part emphasizes a decisive action. Do it now. So that's Jesus' approach to this. You're on the broad way. You get a glimpse of the straight gate, the narrow way. Do it now. Well, I'm going to think about it. That's not what he said. He didn't say, go home and pray about it. You see the gate, you hear the gospel, do it now. Enter. Get in here. The word straight, I've told you, means narrow, difficult, restricted. Narrow, the word narrow means pressed, afflicted, troubled. And again, you say, well, if you tell people that, no one's going to bite. Here's this gate. It's narrow, difficult, and restricted. And if you survive that, once you get through the gate to the way, it's pressed, afflicted, and troubled. Let's go. Why would anybody pick that? Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. And sooner or later, some people go, this is a disaster. There's got to be another way. So you start scanning for another way. And finally, someone comes along and sits down next to you at breakfast and tells you God loves you. She's the only reason I went to Washington. That's it. Where would you go to get Jesus to somebody? Well, as it turns out, where did Jesus go to get himself to us? He was willing to come here, born the way we're born, live where we live, yet without sin. And then boom, God says, it's game on. Here we go. 3 years. All for what? And I didn't understand this. I did not understand that he loved me personally. We're in the package deal. He came after me too. Me too. He died for me personally, for my sin, past, present, and even future. So you say, well, what's he going to ask me to go through? I don't know. Ask him what he went through. And if he went through that for you, what are you willing to go through for him? My mama had some piece of art somebody gave her. It had a cross painted on it. And the caption said, if he can do that, I can do this. And whatever the this is in your life, you can do this. Because he did that. Now, is my life always hard? No. Is it difficult sometimes? Yes. Is there tremendous joy? When that woman sat there at that prayer breakfast and prayed with me, I was overwhelmed. She saw that. He said, well, why would you, what are you crying about? She went from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, from death to life. That's all. Her whole life changed in an instant. And if her Broadway had been working for her, she would never have chosen this. So if you set up a little stand on the corner of Broadway and whatever, and there's a tiny little entrance, and you try to warn people, there's nothing down there. You keep going. It's not going to turn out well. But if you'll duck in here and get you some Jesus, it shoots into life. Shoots into life, eternal life, abundant life, what he intended. When you can't talk anybody into this, but you can tell them what happened to you. People talk about the pearly gates. You'll never see a pearly gate unless you get through the narrow gate. Luke 13, and this is back up for the Matthew 7, Luke 13, 24. And very interesting the words he uses here. The first word is strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Now, the word strive means, it's the Greek word, and I'll tell you one more. The word is agonizomai. What word do you think we get from agonizomai? Agony, agonize. It means to struggle like an athlete or soldier. It takes effort and commitment. You make a decision. You say, but I thought it was all God, Christ in me, and he does it all. He does it all, but you got to make choices. Matthew Henry, some of you use his commentaries, he said this, it is not enough to hear about the narrow way. We must enter it, walk in it, and continue to the end. Many seek, but few strive to enter. Now listen to me close on this. If you are in this room or listening or watching somewhere and you understand you are standing at the gate and it is narrow and you have some understanding it's straight as a gate, narrow as the way, but you are at the gate, you cannot think about this anymore. You have to enter now. Now you have to enter because you may not find this gate ever again. You may not have any interest ever again. You may die in a matter of minutes or days. You say, well, you're trying to scare people. It's just the way it is. And you are at the gate. You know someone has told you God loves you. Jesus died for you on a cross, shed his blood, was buried, raised from the dead. You know in your heart it's real. It's right there. Go through the gate. You say, but it's terrifying. I'm going to lose my life. Exactly. But Jesus said, if you lose it for his sake, that's when you find it. So finding your life is right through that gate. Take the gate. Man, I wouldn't go back. There's nothing back there. Jonathan Edwards said, to neglect the straight and narrow way is to choose eternal destruction. The difficulty of the way should not deter us, for the end is infinite joy. No matter what troubles I got from now to when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with God in heaven. I'm going to see Jesus every day. Every day. I thought Jesus would get more than golf claps, but that's okay. You'll never live a life of obedience if you don't obey the first command, enter. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. There is power. In the name of Jesus. Just call upon that name. He's right there. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He can save you. He wants to save you.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
And then John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is never described as a way. He is the way. So let me read you the lyrics to a song a lot of you know by AC/DC titled Highway to Hell. Living easy, loving free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing. Leave me be, taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing that I'd rather do. Going down, party time. My friends are gonna be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. On the highway to hell, highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. No stop sign, speed limit. Nobody's gonna slow me down. Like a wheel, gonna spin it. Nobody's gonna mess me around. Hey, Satan, paying my dues, playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on the way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell, highway to hell. Don't stop me. I'm on the highway to hell. And I'm going down all the way. I'm on the highway to hell. Or the straight and narrow. People say, oh, it's just a song. The Broadway people, believe that. What do you believe? Well, I don't want that. Then pick the straight, pick the narrow. It leads to life. The other way leads to destruction. It's up to you.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.